Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call our December meeting of the TJPA, Trans-Bay Joint Powers Authority, to order. It's our last meeting of 2024. Pretty crazy that the year is wrapping up. I'm honored to serve as the board chair, and this meeting is being held in person at San Francisco City Hall. Members of the public may attend the meeting in person, watch on SF Cable Channel 78, 28, or 99, depending on your provider, or visit SFGov TV website to stream the meeting live. Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Sure, thank you, Chair G. Prior to calling roll, I'd like to note for the record that Director Syed is absent and Directors Ambiel, Chang, and Ruers are sitting in as alternates for Directors Eltuansi, Andelman, and Tumlin, respectively. With that, Director Ambiel.
Here.
Ambiel present, Director Chang.
Here.
Chang present, Director Forbes.
Here.
Forbes present, Director Jean-Baptiste.
Here.
Jean-Baptiste present, Director Lipkin.
Present.
Lipkin present, Director Ruers.
Present.
Ruers present, and Chair G.
Present.
Chair G present as well. Directors, we have a quorum. Shall I move to your next item? All right, item three is communications, and we'd like to note the process for members of the public to make public comment. Members of the public may comment on the meeting during public comment periods, in person or remotely. The call-in line is provided as a courtesy, and its availability may be disrupted due to technical difficulties or otherwise. In-person public comment will be taken first. Remote public comment will be taken after. The public comment call-in line is printed on the agenda, and dialing instructions should be scrolling at the bottom of the screen on SFGov TV. With that, are there any other communications?
Same.
All right, seeing none, call your next item.
Please.
Item four, directors, is Board of Directors new and or old business, and I'm not aware of any.
Let's continue.
All right. Seeing none, item five is the executive director's report.
Good morning, directors, and happy holidays. Nice to see you all today. I think our gift to you today is a relatively quick meeting and get you on your way with all the busy activities. This past weekend, we had our annual holiday lighting on Friday and our fifth annual Winterfest activities over the weekend. So it's great to see Chair G, Directors Tumlin and Chang, and many of our partners at the holiday lighting event, which not only had new lighting elements, but was very active with a lot of visitors, including Olaf, who I think you may see and hear about from our facilities director shortly, and the Tree Twins, delighting families with a lot of great photos. So there were activities, including making great jingle bells, which my daughter made for me. And it's always a nice event. We invite the public to visit the park during the holiday season and enjoy our many free activities and the holiday lights over the winter months. Late last month, Modi, the Italian-Mexican restaurant on the Natoma side near Shaw Alley, had their grand opening. And they're a great addition to the restaurants as they bring together a unique blend of flavors and a really nice interior with an entertainment permit. So it's a real nice activation of that side of the building. If you haven't been, you may have heard RE speak of, and we've finally gotten a chance to taste their Berea lasagna and their Nopales Parmigiano and some of their interesting hybrid dishes that are quite delicious. There's a lot also happening in the neighborhood. Downtown First Thursdays was last week on Thursday and had their largest visitorship they've had in the year of operations, with almost 20,000 people coming to see Rebecca Black spin tunes on Second Street, an ugly sweater contest, and drag performance. And that continues on into the edge of our building. Let's Glow SF, which is the country's largest holiday projection event, kicked off this week and continues through the weekend with incredible projections on 8 downtown locations, including Salesforce Tower, a new inflatable art piece at The Crossing, which is kind of cool to see. And also, the Eastcut Community Benefit District has a new permanent installation on the PG&E substation at 425 Folsom that's a part of Let's Glow SF. So a lot of great activities. Also, tomorrow, Circus Bella is opening at The Crossing, the former temp terminal, and will run through January 5th. And I'll be taking the family over the holidays as a great event. If you haven't seen their little tent there, it's a nice activation. So for the portal, the team continues to focus on and advance durable work related to the project, as we've discussed here. On the legislative side, on the locally, you know that we'll have a new mayor-elect and four new supervisors sworn in early January. and we're expecting a new appointee to fill the remaining supervisor seat vacated by now Assemblywoman Catherine Stephanie in District 2. So we had a chance last week to give Mayor-elect Daniel Lurie a tour of the Security Operations Center and the train box when he was in the building, and we look forward to inviting all of the new electeds for congratulatory greetings and a tour of the site and what we're up to as an agency. Regionally, we continue to coordinate with the Metropolitan Transportation Commission on multiple fronts, including yesterday's approval of the governance MOU that will be coming to you for your consideration at the January meeting, advancement of the 2026 regional transportation measure, which the commission approved advancing a public poll to survey support for this winter, advancement to the portal as a tier one priority in the major project advancement policy sometime early next year, and then we're continuing to track the MTC's work on Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus with a draft transportation project list, which continues to have the portal included, and working to ensure it reflects our work in the plan and its benefits to the environment, equity, and the economy. At the state level, yesterday we were in Sacramento, Lily and I, to meet with our San Francisco delegation, the governor's office, and Cal's state transportation agency. We had some great discussions about our partnership and where we're headed in 2025 and beyond with the state and electeds, and our work to bring to you consideration of onboarding our civil tunnel contractor in 2025. So stay tuned as we advance those efforts. Many discussions about cap and trade and the state's involvement and support of the portal. At the federal level, we're working to execute our existing CRISI and wayfinding awards. We're putting the finishing touches on our Federal Rail Administration's Fed-State Partnership application due on Monday, and are tracking the leadership changes coming with the new administration. We continue to host a number of tours, not only the mayor-elect, but the NorCal Carpenter Union, members of the MTA Board of Directors, and others, to show them both the investment made and the opportunity of connecting that to the region's transportation networks. Finally, the quarterly financial reports are in your packet, and I'd be happy to answer any questions on my portion before we invite Ari up to give a little highlight of what's happening on the facility side.
Adam, thank you very much. Directors, any questions? I think we can then hear from Olaf, Ari.
Good morning, directors. I'm Ari Walsh. I'm teasing. I'm Ari Walsh, TJPA Facility Director, and I'm happy to be with y'all here today. To get us started off on the right foot, we wanted to highlight some of the great activities we put on over the last month, primarily which was Winterfest, where we had a great lighting of the park, which we see here on the left with someone you may recognize. And then on the right, we had a wreath-making party with over 700 people, three different sessions, and it just keeps growing and growing each year, and we're really proud of the work that we're doing here for Winterfest. We do keep alluding to me dressing up as Olaf. Unfortunately, we did not add a picture of that, thankfully for me, but it was really, really good time. We definitely cut a rug together, so looking forward to doing it bigger and better next year. Moving on to return to work and ridership. So we've seen a pretty darn good increase in activity at the center over the last year, 22% increase year over year. And our peak workday visits are hitting 150,000, which is great. And then we're on track to exceed 1 million visits as well by the end of this year. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll keep you in the loop early next calendar year. While it may not be the greatest graph I've seen, I do want to be candid and share the ridership that we're experiencing for AC Transit here at the Transit Center. We are at roughly 29% of where we were pre-pandemic, but we are trending in the right direction. On the next slide, I'll show the SFMTA ridership at the Transit Center, which had a similar year-over-year increase, but is at about 63% of where we were pre-pandemic. And what this tells us very simply is that inner city travel and activity is rebounding pretty well, while we're still waiting for return to work and people commuting from the East Bay into downtown San Francisco into our great office buildings we have downtown. Moving on to construction and leasing updates, we did want to give just a rough overview of how we're doing with our vertical conveyances. We put a lot of work into making sure they're functioning and fully operational every day. And we've got 19 escalators, 11 public elevators, and 2 service elevators. Make sure I'm not missing anything on that. Well, one thing we've had an issue with, to be candid, is the enunciations and the dings and things like that that we have with the elevators were getting reset as elevators would go offline. So it was an odd problem we were having, but we've gotten to the bottom of it, worked with our technicians to make sure that they are enunciating between floors and then dinging as well. Coming soon to the Transit Center, which we've been talking about for a little bit now, is Beer Bottle in the Grand Hall, which we're looking at for spring 2025. They've experienced some minor delays in getting their permitting done, but we've gotten through most of those, and we're eager to get started on that work at the beginning of 2025. Dembow's and Juice Bar are still experiencing some minor delays and are currently still going through value engineering, trying to get those costs down on their build-out. Current projects, similarly, we've got a new pergola coming in for Beer Bottle, which an interesting graph that they showed us several months ago shows when the temperature goes down, beer drinking and sales goes down. So we're adding the pergolas and some heaters and TVs to try to capture people for another few drinks as we can in the park. And then we've also got the P1 rooftop event space, which I do want to clarify, we are still actively looking for long-term tenants, but we want to just find the best fit and the best tenant we can for the Transit Center in the park. While we wait on that, we are putting in a floor, AV system, and some fire life safety items to get us going at the beginning of 2025. So looking forward to getting some events in there and maybe a wedding or two. As Director Van de Water had mentioned, we've got Modi Italian-Mexican Fusion open and rocking, and the birria lasagna, I don't even want to look at the picture because it's so good. I've already had it once this week, and as well as some tacos, so I need to stay away from there, but it is so good. I've actually seen the mayor there twice, so that should tell you something. And of course, our tenants who are now open, and we are definitely looking to add to this list come 2025. I will say our visits around the center for leasing have gone up significantly. They're pretty low in the single digits 2 years ago, and now we're hitting 15 to 20 visits already this year in 2024. So good increases there. Happy to answer any questions as you have them.
Thank you. Directors, any questions? Just thank you for all the programming, all the partners. It's a team effort. The East Cut CBD, it's great to see all the activities and the families and the kids on the program.
Great stuff.
Wonderful to see that. Thank you.
Great. Next up, we have Alfonso Rodriguez with the update on the portal.
Thank you, Director. Members, let me advance this slide. Ari, is it the right button or left? Right, that's why. All right. It'll come up? Okay, great.
I'm just using that little.
Got this. Oh, geez. Facilities director, you need them. Here we go. All right. I showed this slide last month, but what I want to do is focus on the two last items. The team's really excited as we launch our digital delivery program for the portal and also the big lift of all the management plans and the update that we need to do to each of them now that we're in the engineering phase of the FTA New Starts program. So we're incorporating digital delivery and its platforms and processes to support project management of the portal project, and it'll facilitate design and engagement across the design teams, and our engagement with the financial group, and communications across the entire team during the pre-construction and construction phases. It'll facilitate an easier retrieval of information and communication across all those groups. It'll also improve collaboration in all respects, such as design development with ready access to real-time progressed design, and again, more effective access with our costs and finance forecasting, something that we've been working with our finance team to make sure that we've got good data and accurate forecasts as we move forward. And then it'll also make it easier for asset management and capital renewal once we complete delivery of the project. Now, our schedule I have on the screen, we've already begun. You know, we've been engaging various stakeholders within TJPA, developing our work breakdown structures, making sure that the level of reporting, and there are various levels of reporting, work for the various team members, including meeting the needs of, like I said, our finance team and the rest of our stakeholders within the team. We plan on having a soft launch next spring so that we can use it, see if it works, meets our needs, and we want it fully implementable by next fiscal year, so July 1st, 2025. Our management plans. Now, we've already completed many of these to the level that we needed to while we were in the project development phase of the FTA grant program. But as the program requires, as you progress through the stages, now that we're in engineering, we need to update all of those to have the level of detail and the clarity that we require during pre-construction and construction. So that's why I list all of these, because they all need to be updated. And again, incorporating our new org structure, we're going to be looking at TJPA's policies and procedures to make sure that they fit the needs of delivering an $8 billion or $7.5 billion program, role responsibility clarity, you know, things that, you know, need to be clear to be effective and efficient in delivering a project of our size and complexity. Now, this is a lot of work. It took us a good long time to get these done for getting accepted into the engineering phase of the New Starts program. Now, updating them, the bar is higher, the requirements are higher, but we've got it well planned out. In fact, yesterday we met with the FTA and PMO to go over the work plan on how to update it. And then they themselves need to resource their staff to be able to review as we feed it to them. So I do have, we did share I'm gonna go back one slide. Down below the list of management plans, we had a more detailed schedule that we went through, much like the one on digital delivery, so that they could see the various plans when we plan on sending it to them. Again, it is a mountain of work and an intensive effort, but it is durable because we know we need to do the update whenever we build the project. So this next slide, I think, is a result of our digital delivery effort. I mentioned, or probably didn't, that one of our digital delivery platforms is GIS. And so we worked within the team to take advantage of a model that already exists within the city. And before you quite press send, I want to explain, or press start, I wanted to explain that this is an animation of our project alignment. It begins over the rail yard, the Caltrain rail yard at 4th and King. It'll follow the alignment with the construction of the new 4th and Townsend station. It'll turn left up 2nd Street. It'll show where we start branching our track work. It'll show how we come into the west end of the Salesforce Transit Center. And we do have the Salesforce Transit Center fully digitized. So it's a little rough. We plan on expanding on this, but we're really excited that we'll be able to show much more detail as we progress our design, as we progress our construction work. So why don't we start this? Yeah, I love our logo, Uniting the Bay, Connecting California. So again, this is a GIS model that already exists within the city. We're coming down to the 4th and King Caltrain station, where we intercept Caltrain electrified service and bring it into the newly constructed tunnel. We'll approach the 4th and Townsend station, showing our two platforms and our center platforms and two modes of travel. We'll be coming up underneath a few buildings at the northwest corner of Townsend and 2nd Street. We have two ventilation shafts. They also serve as emergency exiting shafts. We plan on rendering more detail on how they operate, what they look like when we get to those two points. But we do have two mid alignment before we get to the Salesforce Transit Center. Just south of Clementina, the two track alignment splits to three, and right around Tahana, it starts to split to the six tracks that continue into the west end of the Salesforce Transit Center. When we split to the three tracks, the mine tunnel goes into a cut and cover construction method because the width of the tunnel is much wider. And so we'll fly into the Salesforce Transit Center. This shows a rudimentary illustration of the box, but we have this station box fully digitized so we can do far more than what we show here. I mentioned in the digital delivery part of the presentation that these tools will help us with community engagement. It'll be able to show real-time and interactive information for all our stakeholders to see where we are in the project and see its progression, and I think this becomes really important during construction. So again, the team is really excited about doing this, and we are almost there. So I think I wanted to share this last slide, and then I'll take questions. I think you've seen much of this already. We plan on coming back to the board next month to show our progress for this last year. We've already started identifying that. We've done a lot. And then what we can look forward to in 2025. We do plan on giving you, with our finance team, an updated presentation of our schedule and our funding and financing for that updated schedule. That's for January. And then we're really happy to bring before you our Peninsula Memorandum of Understanding. I do want to thank somebody in the audience, Jesse Kaler, who really brought some leadership to our IPMT to help us work through it, get us to an agreement that we all felt comfortable with, recommending it to the EWG, and we're happy to present it to this board next month for adoption. But again, great team effort to get us here.
Directors, if I could add two things. One, earlier this month I signed, and the other six-party EDs also signed, the management agreement, which is a complementary document to the MOU that'll come to you in January. So we've already enshrined the committee structure that creates the IMT, the Integrated Project Delivery Team, the Executive Working Group, and the Configuration Change Management Group. And the MOU that will be before you in January for your consideration considers a portal subcommittee of this board to really dive in on the details of the project, and then references that management agreement. So great work by the team. We've had a lot of discussion at the staff level for quite a bit of time, and I know the team is very happy to have reached conclusion on this and move this forward. Secondly, we've been in conversation with CalSTA, who has been appearing at the BART and Capital Corridor boards about Link 21. So Link 21, you know, is the second Transbay crossing. It's been a multi-year planning effort. And while not yet adopted by those two boards, the current recommendation is conventional gauge rail across the bay. And so we plan to bring the team from Link 21 here to you to give you an update once they've brought that to their board, so in the springtime. And once that decision is made, that would convert the transit center from a terminal station to a potential throughput station for rail to then cross the bay. Admittedly long-term at the completion of that project, but opens up the possibility of conventional range coming east and going west for Caltrain, Amtrak, high-speed rail, ACE, any other user of that conventional gauge rail network. So really utilizes the capacity that we've invested in the center and is a great complement to what we're doing with the portal.
Very good, Adam. Thank you. Alfonso, thank you for the update. Directors, questions?
Hey, thank you.
No, what? No, we've got two questions real quick. Just because I know some of this stuff. PMIS, are we hosting that or is that PMO hosting?
No, we're hosting our PMIS.
Perfect. That's great. And then you mentioned the financials. Is there a financial module with the PMIS or is that something a duplicate system we have to do double entry?
Oh, well, I mean, the financial modules, plural, will help us with capturing our costs by a work breakdown structure, allowing our project managers, plural, by contracts to update. It'll automatically update invoices as they come through, but more importantly, forecasting. We want a forecast and we want a trend where we are against budgets and estimates. Finance department is most interested in this, not only for budgeting purposes, but for cash flow. So we will host the modules that I mentioned, digital delivery is an integrated platform across multiple modules for specific purposes. but they talk to each other.
Very good. Thank you. Yep.
And directors, if I may, on that point real quick, we plan to, in the new year, bring to you a more detailed cash flow analysis, which is a lot of work the team's been working on, both with Alfonso's team and with FEMA's team in finance, to project existing and stable committed sources of fund with kind of projected new funds in the future and make sure that the durable work has enough funds to get us to the next kind of milestone. So taking design from 30 to 60%, for instance, or getting to a place where should that next set of funds not come in, we have a durable work product to show for that effort. So we'll be giving you a little more detail in the new year on exactly that.
Very good. Thank you. Director Chang.
Thank you so much for the update and for being at the Transportation Authority earlier this week.
Just you're welcome.
Mentioned that the TA gave first approval to about $10 million of Proposition L sales tax funds for the project. Pleased to do that and appreciate the entire team and want to echo thanks to the whole team, including yourself and Jesse and all the different partners on this forthcoming MOU. The TA also gave first approval to that agreement, the successor MOU. And then just a quick question to Director Vanderwater. Is there anything you can share with us about the conversations with the legislative delegation members you met with regarding what might be coming forward in the new year and that what the TJPA may be seeking to advocate for?
Yeah, absolutely. So we met with CalSTA, the governor's office, and the local delegation. First and foremost, there's a number of new members. About a third of the legislature has turned over, and not all of them yet have their full staff complement. And so they're still figuring their way up in Sacramento. But a lot of the discussion was on two things. One was a source of funds to keep us moving forward on the technical work that we'll be bringing to you in 2025. And by that, I specifically mean the onboarding of the 40 CT heavy civil tunnel contractor. So we'll be bringing an item for your consideration to release that RFP, and then late in the calendar year to consider an award of that contract based on existing funds. What we were talking to the state delegation about was a future tranche of funds that would keep that moving to complete the full design of the heavy civil, which is the largest contract that this agency would consider and is necessary precedent work before we could so-called make dirt fly and start the actual construction upon signing of an FFGA. So we were talking about the timing of those funds about 2 years out, but also the broader question of state cap and trade reauthorization. And the consensus in Sacramento, from at least those we spoke with, is that is gonna be a very active conversation in 2025. As we've discussed here in the past, there is a lot baked into that decision. The length of that authorization, typically in 10 years, but there's been discussion of potentially longer. And then the allocation within that for folks like high-speed rail, the TIRCP program that we would be seeking funding from, some of the climate initiatives that funds, and all the various policy decisions that need to go into that statewide. So there's some forecasting of whether it'll be a conversation that could be completed within the legislative cycle in 2025 or would continue into 2026. I think either could work for our planning purposes, and we're, of course, a small piece of that overall conversation, but wanted to make sure that we understood CalSTA's position and our delegation's position on those items in particular.
Thank you.
A lot more conversations to be had.
Absolutely.
Other questions or comments, directors? Thank you for the reports.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there any public comment on the reports?
We will check for public comment in the room. Seeing none, we'll check online. We do have a member of the public that wishes to address you online. Go ahead and let the caller in. Go ahead, caller. State your name. You have 2 minutes. Caller, can you... Okay, maybe having some technical difficulties. Can you try the other caller, which I think is our test? Mm-hmm. Caller, can you state your name? Okay, it appears we're having some technical difficulties. We will, although you might want to try logging out and logging back in. We're going to move ahead, and whenever you raise your hand, we'll come back to you. All right, that concludes that item. Go ahead and move into your next item. All right, item six, directors, is the Citizens Advisory Committee update. And both CAC Chair Larkin and Vice Chair Shaw were unable to present today, although they were with us Tuesday night. So we have Lily Magiswu, our Communications and Legislative Affairs Director, and CAC Staff Liaison to present on the item.
Good morning, directors. The CAC met this past Tuesday, December 10th, and had two presentations, including an update from facilities and the portal project team. Members had some questions and feedback, one of which was interest in the P1 space that's actually getting activated through R.E. Walsh, our facility director. There was also feedback on the ridership data that you saw. One point that was made, and it was actually a really good point, which was ridership is down, not necessarily, I mean, due to the pandemic and the impacts, but the service isn't the same as it was pre-pandemic. So there's also that consideration when looking at the data. So that was a really good point. Now onto the portals presentation. There was questions about Link 21, excitement in terms of what's to come for the standard gauge discussion. Also, they really liked the video flyover that you saw, which was a good representation of the alignment and the project. And then there was a question about our need to adhere to the Buy America requirement and potentially the impact of tariffs and what that means for our project costs. I think that concludes the feedback that we received. This concludes my report. I'll take any questions.
Very good, Lily. Thank you for filling in. Directors, any questions, comments? Nope. Very good. Thank you very much. Any public comment?
We will check for public comment in the room. On the number seven. Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll go ahead and check for public comment online. We do have a hand raised, and we do have. You want to let that caller in? Caller, can you state your name?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Is this Herschel?
Yes.
This is Herschel, our office administrator, testing from our office to make sure that it is working. thank you for confirming, Herschel. The other caller.
All right.
Thanks. The other caller that wasn't able to get through, again, please maybe try logging out and logging back in. We'll come back to you. All right. Shall we move to your next item?
Yes, let's now take public comment.
All right, yes.
Item's not on.
Item seven, for matters that are not on today's calendar, but within our jurisdiction, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I find the contracts, many of which we've let, have been designed for a not-to-exceed basis. Particularly legal contracts, and most recently the life safety contract. I think they're full of trouble. It's good for the TJPA budget process because it guarantees accuracy in the budget. It's good for the vendor because it effectively sets an upper limit on his price. Well, the vendor can change his hourly reports, his costs per hour, his cost of materials. It's striking at a collusion problem. I'm not suggesting it, but I think it's something we want to avoid. I think you should do a fixed price, and you should take the lowest bidder, and that will get the better prices, and that will eliminate the possibility of collusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patrick. Are there any other commenters in the room or for item seven? Seeing none, we do have the caller online. We'll go ahead and let him through. Caller, can you hear us? Can you please state your name?
Yeah, good morning, Director. Okay, it's working, but I'm getting nothing.
We hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is Roland O'Brien, San Jose. I apologize for missing the CAC on Tuesday. I just got back from Japan. I really appreciated the video that was shown earlier, because that video, as you enter the transit center, depicts the catastrophic impact of this alignment, not only on platform capacity, but on the potential viability of future transit crossing. In closing, I would strongly recommend that moving forward, you focus future enhancements on this video on platform design in the train box and potential East Bay connection. And finally, and not least, there's a 10-year-old video on YouTube called DTX 3D Flyover, which you may find very, very useful moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. That concludes members of the public that want to address you under that item. Go ahead and move into your next item.
Yes, please.
All right. Item 8, directors, is approving the minutes of the November 14th, 2024 meeting. Checking to see if there are any members of the public in the room that want to comment on it. Seeing none, we'll check online. Seeing no members of the public online either.
Directors, this is item for action. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Director Forbes. Is there a second? Thank you, Director Chang.
All right, with the first and second, Director Chang.
Aye.
Chang, aye. Director Forbes.
Aye.
Forbes, aye. Director Jean-Baptiste.
Aye.
Jean-Baptiste, aye. Director Lipkin.
Aye.
Lipkin, aye. Director Ruers.
Aye.
Ruers, aye. And Chair G.
Yes.
A G, aye as well. Item 8 is approved. Go ahead and move into your next item.
Please.
Item 9 is approving the updated board policy number 1, procurement policy. And Shima Mirzai, Chief Financial Officer, will present the item.
Good morning, Directors, Chair G. Today we are seeking your approval for amendment to Board Policy Number 1, a procurement policy that initially was adopted in 2003 and periodically updated to, you know, remain effective and compliant with the best practices of city, state, and federal regulations. The amendment before you is to update TJPA's standards of conduct for procurement with the most recent applicable provisions of the City Administrative Code, Title II of the Code of Federal Regulations, and FDA Circular 4221F. Notably, we have increased the formal purchase threshold requiring board approval from $110,000 to $250,000, and aligned the micro-purchase threshold with the city's updated purchasing authority, now set at $20,000. Additionally, the policy revisions reflect TJPA's updated organizational structure, ensuring that the right parties are accountable for procurement activities. I was also informed that the board had previously directed a staff to explore the possibility of extending the cone of silence. In response, TJPA staff conducted a comprehensive research reviewing the requirements outlined by the City Administrative Code, as well as those of other governmental agencies, and confirmed that our current policy is in full compliance and no further changes are necessary. Staff recommend that the board approve the amendments to ensure that our policies remain current, effective, and compliant. I would like to invite Ms. Anise Acevedo, TJPA's Procurement and Contract Compliance Manager, to join me, who worked on this amendment enormously, and we are happy, you know, to answer your questions. I also want to acknowledge the invaluable work of Mr. Rudy LaFord, our TJPA's, you know, consultant and subject matter expert in federal procurement compliance on this amendment. We're happy to take your questions.
Directors, any questions or comments? We'll take some public comment.
All right. We'll check for public comment in the room. Ms. Patrick? Okay. Come on up, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you. Minority Business Women's Enterprise and Labor Surplus Firm, Section J of this document. It discriminates against me, a white small business owner. I find that reprehensible. I find it outside the Equal Protection Clause. I find it to be bad business. You want to get the lowest price. Number two, it elaborates how these minorities, or goes into minorities. It seems to me white people are almost getting to be a minority. Number three, it talks about females. It seems to me society is having a great deal of trouble deciding who's a female and who's not a female. So I think this area is full of trouble and should be deleted. Thank you.
Are there any other commenters in the room? Seeing none, are there any callers online for this item? Seeing none.
Okay. Shima, thank you for the presentation. Thank you for all the hard work, because if I recall correctly, last month in our update, we saw the rainbow of colors of the funding sources, and you were very polite saying federal, state, and city, and local. There's probably 20 different colors of money in this project with varying degrees of statute and compliance. And bring them all together into a procurement document is not easy work. So thank you for all the efforts in bringing this forward for consideration by the board. Item for action, what would the board like to do?
I move approval.
Thank you, Director John Batiste. Thank you, Director Chang, for the second.
All right, with that, Director Chang. Chang, aye. Director Forbes?
Aye.
Forbes, aye. Director Jean-Baptiste?
Aye.
Jean-Baptiste, aye. Director Lipkin?
Aye.
Lipkin, aye. Director Roers?
Aye.
Roers, aye. And Chair G?
Yes.
G, aye as well. Item 9, the updated procurement policy is approved. Shall we move?
Yes. Thank you, Directors.
Thank you.
All right. Item 10, Directors, is authorizing the Executive Director to enter into an amended and restated interim agreement with the Peninsula Corridor Joint Powers Board, Caltrain, for information sharing, design, and operational input, securing funding, and other coordination to ensure the TJPA meets critical milestones in the work plan and documentation requirements of the Federal Transit Administration full funding grant agreement in the amount, the amount with Caltrain is $3.9 million for fiscal year 2025. And Alfonso Rodriguez, the portal project director, will present.
Sure. This is much like the presentation I gave you last month when we asked for your authorization to extend the interim agreement by 1 month. This is the full interim agreement that will be in place until we're able to execute a master cooperative agreement with Caltrain. It really outlines a joint work plan. We developed it with Caltrain staff that is resource loaded and costed. Do want to point out that the activities in that work plan are necessary to advance the project as with the detail that I had presented to you in the past. And it allows us to request services. In other words, it is based on a work plan and based on TJPA's needs to advance that work plan. So we do have the ability to request services that are listed. It allows us to advance the work that we need to do at the 4th and King Rail Yard, the redesign of the newly electrified track work. This is a highly interactive process with the operator. In fact, we had another meeting just 2 days ago with Caltrain to talk about this. So there is a lot of work associated with that task, and this interim agreement allows us to ensure our process to make that work happen. And then it contemplates the Master Cooperative Agreement, the document that will stand throughout construction, explaining our rights and responsibilities between TJPA and Caltrain to deliver the portal jointly. That's all I have for presenting the interim agreement.
Very good, Alfonso. Thank you. Thanks for all the hard work. I know this took a lot of time and effort to kind of pull together. Is there any public comment before we turn to the directors?
Checking for public comment in the room, seeing none, and we'll check online. No member of the public wishing to comment on the item.
Okay, directors, any questions, comments, or action? Director Reaver.
Just two quick questions. On the work description itself as part of the agreement, can you explain what ICAP is? And on the communication, government affairs, and policy, isn't that a little bit duplicative?
Yeah. Well, those are very good questions. How do you want to handle ICAP?
ICAP is the administrative overhead for Caltrain SamTrans, so it is their way of capturing procurement and contracting and invoicing and all the administrative back of house work. And as I can't remember the percentage, but it's standard for all agreements that Caltrain enters into.
So it's essentially the overhead attached to all these other services.
The burden labor percentage of 2.5% applied to Caltrain's labor because of the support they receive, the administrative support, all the back of house support they receive by, thank you.
Just don't want to pay for things twice.
Yes, no, it's not actually overall overhead. It's basically, you know, like the project related overhead. The ICAP is the program overhead, which is a very, you know, a small percentage. And that's, you know, because of the budgetary structure of the Caltrain that they will, you know, basically recoup all the expenses associated with the administrative of each project on its own separately. So that's different.
So it wasn't built into the other line items?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Government affairs and outreach staff and budget is really a provision for our comms team, for our external communication effort, to engage Caltrain to ensure, for lessons learned. I mean, Caltrain has a very robust external communication program. Caltrain has explicitly said that we are jointly delivering this project, and so they have something to offer. But it's a service that we access. It's not unilaterally provided. When we need that input, we ask for it, and this IA provides a budget and resource to access that.
It's important to note this budget is an estimate of expenses going forward, and we'll be going through invoices. To the extent that Caltrain is already conducting state and federal legislative affairs, they will, you know, obviously advocate for this project and their role in it. This is reflecting if we make an express work order request of them to do work on our behalf outside of existing Caltrain efforts, that would become part of this agreement.
So this is essentially a not to exceed. For the fiscal year.
Well, I mean, it's a budget. Yeah, I'm going to let our CFO.
The budget is the not to exceed amount. Basically, is only for the first year, you know, like which is for the NTP that, you know, I already reviewed the scope of work. And I also want to, you know, acknowledge that this required, you know, a budget amendment, and the budget amendment not in the manner of having a supplemental budget, but also a realignment, you know, between, you know, like other line items of the engineering and design to ensure that there is enough, you know, funding with the, you know, appropriate color of money, you know, for this project. But budget amendment will be happening after board approval of this item by the authority that was said, you know, like in me, I can do the realignment, you know, between the line items of the budget. But the total amount is only for this fiscal year, for a not to exceed amount for this current, you know, fiscal year. And if there is any balance, we will basically carry forward, you know, to the next fiscal year, NTP.
Okay.
And Shima, can you speak to the Caltrain contribution that is a part of this interim agreement?
It will be. There will be $1.5 million contribution from Caltrain, you know, like coming to this basically amendment, which we, you know, discussed it whether going to be in the form of cash or also in-kind, you know, contribution by their, you know, staff time. So.
Okay.
Any other questions? It looks like there's one hanging there, so.
I'm going to leave it as it is for now.
Okay. Very good. Directors, any other questions or comments? Is that
May
a fraction?
Move the item.
Director Chang, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Oh, whoever got there first.
We'll let the Director Ruhr second.
Take it.
All right, thank you. Please.
All right, with first and a second, and we'll just double check if you can click that there. that there are no members of the public that want to comment on the item. All righty. With that, Director Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Director Forbes?
Aye.
Forbes, aye. Director Jean-Baptiste?
Aye.
Jean-Baptiste, aye. Director Lipkin?
Yes.
Lipkin, aye. Director Roers?
Aye.
Roers, aye. And Chair G?
Abstain.
Director Chair G abstaining with that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What? Did I count right? 5. I counted you twice because of your double name. with 5 ayes, the item is approved. With that, that concludes your business for today.
Thank you. Thank you, directors. The gift of time as we enter this holiday season. I know there's a lot of work trying to get done before the holidays really jump on us, but thank you for your service this year. Thank you for owning this project. Be safe, be well, enjoy the holidays, and we'll see you in 2025. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you, Chair G.
Happy holidays.